Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. You want to reach out to us, you can find us on Twitter. It's at IOB underscore News Hour. We're on Instagram as Insight on Business. And of course, we have a Facebook page. And all of our long-form business interviews can be found on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just Google Insight on Business, the News Hour, and we will be right there. I recently traveled to Jefferson, Iowa, at the request of my friend John Bruno. He's the owner of All Ability Cycles, a place you've got to go to, a very unique business plan. Anyway, I was asked to address the local Rotary Club there. My presentation was called You Don't Know What You Don't Know. And following that presentation, I sat down with several leaders from the community. There was Mike Palmer, he's the city administrator for Jefferson, Sam Harding, a school board member and school consultant, Terry Riley, who's created an independent news portal there. It's quite an interesting story. And Travis Dvorak, he's the manager of the Wild Rose Casino. Quite a group. And we started our conversation with Mike Palmer from the city of Jefferson. Mike, thanks so very much for joining us on the Business News Hour as we broadcast from Jefferson, Iowa. Tell us about Jefferson, Iowa. What may people in the greater Des Moines metro not know about Jefferson and about that beautiful bell tower you have here?
They do not know that it's beyond the bell tower. There's so much behind it that the people in general and the other opportunities we have, the bike trail, now the casinos here, the downtown itself is quite extraordinary to see this square coming alive with the courthouse right in the middle of it. So the recreational opportunities too.
Interesting that you should talk about recreational opportunities. For so many individuals, those things have gone wanting in a lot of places for a long time. But then the whole bike trail and other types of amenities we find really do attract all kinds of people of every age. Would you agree?
They do. We're always striving to try to find something that attracts all different ages. Today we're sitting here at the golf course that was purchased by the city years ago as a way to save a recreational asset.
When we talk about the community of Jefferson, how's the retail base going? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we measured a lot off of what our local option sales tax is, and we've seen our local option sales tax go up quite a bit, very consistently throughout the years. Part of it was bringing the casino to town, but it also created more lodging opportunities. We had a second grocery store come to town. We had an expansion of Baumgars in our hardware store, which something you don't see very often is a major hardware store of Ace Hardware that's in the downtown square is still an anchor, and that does quite well too.
How many people live in Jefferson and the surrounding several miles?
Well, in Jefferson themselves, although we've lost a little population, it's about down to about 4,300, and the county's gone down slightly, too. They're down to about 9,000, but we're more the central area, the shopping area of the county.
Biggest obstacle you feel that faces Jefferson today?
It's probably the population, and as we've seen, is housing. Housing is very difficult. A lot of small communities struggle with that, as to provide affordable housing for the workers. There's plenty of jobs. It's one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state right now.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Everybody that we talk to in all small towns across Iowa say, if you have the housing stock available, people will come to those communities. And that's something that's always a struggle to get developers to understand that outside of the metro.
It is, and it a lot of it comes down to who's going to take the risk first.
Sure.
I know the city of Jefferson's very aggressive on trying to get housing to communities, but it's still a high-risk proposition for developers.
Until they realize that is actually the truth, and studies have indicated that time and time again, that if you have housing stock, affordable housing stock at that, which I would imagine they would be here in Jefferson, that people will come to the jobs. What do you think, when you talk to employers, Mike, we're talking with Mike Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, he's the city administrator for the city of Jefferson. Do they talk about their struggle in finding good employees?
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. It's the turnover, or they have to have, bring people in from quite a ways out. That's something we always really struggle with.
Now, I'll turn the tables on you for just a moment. What's the best part of being the administrator city administrator for Jefferson?
Well, in Jefferson, it's easy. Just seeing the amount of energy that people have, the changes that have happened here. When people come back to town who've been gone for a while, and they just flat out say that this has really improved here, and I can really, they're the voices of experience. They've seen both ends of it. One of maybe it was tailing down a little bit, and now that's ramping back up.
How true all of that is. And, you know, there's nothing like having the opportunity to live in a small community, because there is a sense of, well, a sense of village, I think, in a small community where people look out for each other.
And a lot of pride, too. It's,
yeah, there
people
is.
Really, it's kind of the broken windows thing. Now that people have seen other people fix things up, they're going for it, too, and the ideas are just really flowing to get things done in the community.
Good for you. Mike Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, he is the city administrator for the city of Jefferson. Thanks so much for visiting with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Next up, Sam Harding, school board member and school consultant. Sam Harding, thank you so much for spending some time with the Business News Hour as we make our tour through Jefferson and Greene County. You're on the school board, I understand, huh?
I've been on the school board for 25 years now, so got a little bit of experience.
I suspect you've seen some changes.
Unfortunately, yeah. Most of them are down, and we're not any different than most rural districts. Shrinking population means shrinking schools, but lots of consolidation.
You know, one of the things about that consolidation, it's said that when schools close in a community, that the life's blood really starts to drain away. You're in the business of working with schools in your business as a consultant. Is that true?
Usually what we find, and I hate to say this, but usually the community has already died by the time the school has to finally pull out of there. That's the reason that the school needs to leave, is there's no kids left. But we've had good luck here in our consolidations. We've been able to hold on to all of our vocational strands. We have more vocational strands than most of the metro schools do still here in a community where your children can still get play on ball teams and be in speech classes and everything else on top of getting a top quality education.
One of the things that the legislature has just been playing around with and passed recently is a bill to better fund transportation costs with regard to busing. But I understand it's only a one-year funding mechanism.
We're very interested in that, and we've been watching that very closely. We are now the eighth largest geographic district in the state, so our busing costs are getting very high. And for folks that don't understand school finance, busing comes out of the same budget that teacher salaries do. So every dollar I spend coming out the tailpipe of a bus is a dollar I can't spend in the classroom.
Yeah. And as I understand it, the bill that's currently winding its way through the legislature is a one-year funding only. So it looks as though if there's any money in the budget next year that you may have to be going back to ask again.
And I'm sure we will, and we sure will be. we're not the only one. A lot of rural districts have that problem as we've consolidate. We're getting bigger size-wise, but not really kid-wise.
His name is Sam Harding, ladies and gentlemen. He has a consulting business that he does when he's not sitting on the school board for a couple of decades. You've got an upcoming bond issue. Tell me about that.
We are proposing a bond to the community for $21.48 million. It'll be the third time we've tried, but this time is different. We've had a group this time that's come from the community with a different idea. They are proposing a regional academy and a new high school. Before, we were adding a middle school onto our high school for that $21.48 million. This time we're going to be looking at a $36 million project, and the bond issue still only $21.48 million. The brunt of that rest of that funding is coming from private sources. So the Grow Green County gaming money is going to give $4.5 million that will pay for the competition gymnasium and half of a performing arts center. The Regional Academy, which is an exciting concept, going to be staffed by Iowa Central Community College.
Nice.
With some very interesting strands of education that we don't have here and are very, very much in need. And that is going to be paid for by the Greene County supervisors with some new TIF money that they are creating off of all the windmills that are going up in this county. So that's a $5 million commitment from the supervisors. And so we are pretty excited. This is going to go out on Highway 30, where it will be very good exposure for the for us and for Iowa Central.
And when,
that's a great deal.
When is the vote, Sam?
The vote is on April the 3rd. It's kind of a short time frame on proposing, but those are the dates that the legislature set for school elections several years ago now. We only have like three dates a year that we can actually have an election, and that's one of them. So
hopefully we'll get that back on track and everybody goes to the polls at the same time one of these days.
That would be nice. They did change the school board elections. Starting next year, they will be on the same as the city in November instead of a separate one in September. So
that could be helpful. And I understand this bond issue, you're really only asking for 60% of the funding?
The rest of it's coming from other sources. Yeah. So $21 million in bond money is going to get $36 million worth of facilities, and I think that's a great deal.
Sam Harding, ladies and gentlemen, he is a school board member also in private business as he consults schools and school boards across the country about the quality of their buildings. Sam, thanks so very much for spending time with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Next up, meet Tori Riley. We love this story. She's Greene County Media Online. You're going to like this. Tori Riley is with us. She is an, get this, kids, she is an independent news source in Jefferson. And we've run across a couple of these in various rural communities out there where they're actually the preferred news source online for many, many people. Tori, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Wow. Tell me about this. What is it that you're doing?
Well, I cover all the same news that a good newspaper is supposed to do. I go to county supervisors, I go to Jefferson City Council, I go to school board meetings, and because of my format, I can do a lot more detailed stories. So people that really want to understand the background, they want to know what's went into a decision and what the implications might be, they can find it all right there on Greene County News Online.
So Tori, are you a one-woman band?
I am.
Yeah, so I get it. I understand totally what you're going through. So you're attending the meetings, taking the photographs, writing the copy, and how are you paying for all of this?
I am also selling the advertising.
There you go. All right, good
for
you.
But it is free to my readers, and that's such a benefit to all of them. They can, at any time, any place, and especially here in Iowa, we have a lot of snowbirds, and they're all able to stay right in touch. I have obituaries and funeral notices, and it can go up at any time. In a small town, it's a weekly newspaper usually, and so you miss out on the timeliness of a lot of news. By the time it prints, it's already done. You can have somebody pass away and be buried before the newspaper comes out to say that he or she's gone.
I have a friend, and I think I told you off mic, his name is Jack Matthews, and he's done the very same thing with our Grinnell in Grinnell, Iowa, and this is happening in many, many places. As newspapers tend to disappear or get bought up by other individuals who aren't necessarily local. And then there, of course, to your point, is the timeliness. What's the name again?
I've got Greene County News Online.
Okay, Greene with an E, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Greene County News Online. As you go out there and you're doing this, how long have you been doing this, Tori?
I've had Greene County News Online for 4.5 years.
Good.
Before
for you.
That, I was covering local news for more than 17 years.
So you have an experience level here and a trust level, I'm sure.
Yes.
Among individuals.
Yes.
How do you get your stories?
I do get daily reports from the police and the sheriff, but a lot of the things people tell me about, they send me an email, they send me a text message, check this out.
And what about the growth of something like this? How have you seen it grow over the years? And by the way, I've got to mention, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in rural parts of Iowa or even parts of Des Moines, guess what? Jefferson is all fiber. Congratulations on that. And that makes everything go a lot easier with internet connectivity. How has the growth been for you over the past 4.5 years?
It's been good. It's been very exciting. It's fun being an entrepreneur. I recommend that wholeheartedly to anybody. So from starting with nothing, I had three great advertisers that started with me before I launched. They had committed that they would advertise with me, and they're still with me. Readership has really grown. Readership has just been fantastic, especially lately. We have a lot going on with the bond issue that we mentioned before. So site visits are really doing well.
And, of course, we'll have a link to that in the radio blog so that those of you who are listening to this and in the podcast can go ahead and check this out for yourself. Tell us a little bit about what's the bubbling news in Jefferson?
Right now, this bond issue seems to be taking up almost all local conversation. That's all I'm hearing about. We also have hog issues, like many rural
CAFOs,
places.
CAFOs, right?
Yes, CAFOs. We recently had a big one, and there's been a lot of talk about that. So those are the two main things. And then a lot of talk just about the excitement that's going on. We do have a lot of really exciting growth going on, a redo of a lot of facades downtown, just some nice new businesses. There's a lot of excitement and vitality going on. And we've got Ragbri coming up, too.
Earlier, we were talking with Mike Palmer about housing stock here in Jefferson, and because you're a reporter and you're in the news media, are you finding some of those issues to be accurate? Are we having some issues finding enough housing for people?
Oh, absolutely. I was recently in the housing market myself, and there were not many houses available that somebody at, say, a starting teacher salary could afford. We've got some lovely, very, very expensive houses. We've got some really inexpensive, awful houses. But the kind of houses that your typical family would want to move into, we do not have many of.
Yeah, and that's always a sticking point with many developers, is getting them to see the future. And I know, for example, I point back to our friends in Grinnell. They talked with the Hubble real estate development people, and they went in and built single-family opportunities there with a little bit of trepidation. But guess what? They're sold.
I'm sure they are.
They are. Her name, ladies and gentlemen, is Tori Riley, and she is an independent journalist in the city of Jefferson. And I'm just so excited for you because I breathe the same air that you do.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Pretty interesting stuff, huh? We thought you'd like this. We wrap up our time in Jefferson, Iowa with Travis Dvorak. Travis is the general manager of the Wild Rose Casino. Meet Travis.
We're going to turn our attention to, well, fun and gambling and jobs and cool stuff like that. With us is Travis Dvorak. Travis Dvorak is the general manager of the Wild Rose Casino. Hey, Travis, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Thanks for I'm doing all right, you know, given the fact that it's a long drive from Des Moines to here, but in Jefferson, but it's okay. It's okay.
It's a great drive.
Everybody it is a great drive.
It's worth the drive up here to Jefferson.
There you go. Good plug. Tell us a little bit about the Wild Rose Casino. Wild Rose has been in the news in many parts of the state. How long has the casino been here in Jefferson?
A couple things about the Wild Rose story. Jefferson's the newest of the three. We've been here for about 3 years now. Wild Rose itself started over 10 years ago. Started off in Emmitsburg, and then it also worked over in Clinton, and now we're here in Jefferson. And one thing about Wild Rose, we're throughout the state, and we're usually in the smaller communities. I think we're a perfect fit for smaller communities. And what I always tell people is we're part of the community first, and we're a casino second.
As you were working towards, or as Wild Rose was working towards getting a license here in Iowa, was there a lot of public support for the effort?
There was a lot of public support. I'm glad you asked that. What was unique about Jefferson and Greene County is one thing about casinos in Iowa, you got to have the county interested first, so the county has to vote. And this county was very unique. When they had the vote, a couple of neat little facts came out about this. They had more people come out for the vote for gaming than he did for the previous gubernatorial election. And then on top of that, Greene County set a record for the largest margin of victory for yes versus no on gaming. So this was something that was very important to the community.
And what do you think drove that, Travis?
I think what was nice is there was 20 years of gaming already done, almost 25 years at that point. 25 years ago when gaming came out, there was a lot of negative. People thought we'd turn into a sin city. They thought all these bad elements would come in. And after 20, 25 years of the Iowa Racing Gaming Commission, finding ways to do this responsibly and finding a way to make this part of the community, I think Jefferson got to see what everybody else did and realize that the positives outweigh the problems.
Could it also have been the opportunity for more employment in the community?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people, you know, going throughout the community and going throughout rural America, The fight is always jobs and find ways to get people to stay in rural America instead of moving to the urban areas. And part of it is the entertainment option. People want to come here. They want to be entertained. And the casino does a lot of entertainment, especially on the resort side with our concerts.
Now, when we give us a paint us a picture of Wild Rose Casino here in Jefferson, if you would, Travis, I'm not familiar. Do you have a hotel there? Do you have a restaurant? Talk to us about that.
We are pretty much a one-stop resort, like you see with most casinos in today's world. But we have, obviously, a gaming floor with about 600 machines, 20 table games. But we also have two food outlets. We have a sports bar along with a cafe. We have an entertainment complex where we can have concerts and wedding parties and business meetings, and we can hold up to 1,200 people. And then attached, we have a hotel, which is actually locally owned and run by the Cobblestone franchise.
Very nice. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Travis Dvorak, and he is the general manager of the Wild Rose Casino here in Jefferson. What about the employment picture? I understand there's a hospital here. You're here. You're probably the number one or two employer in the county, probably. Are you finding enough folks to work there?
We are, I think we're number two right now in the county. We have around 200 employees. I'd like to see about 230 to 250, but we are dealing in a county that has an unemployment rate that's around the two range. So I could probably give you the same speech that so many other businesses have of trying to fill all the employment spots.
How are you going about recruiting?
We're trying to kind of take all the above. We have the traditional methods of filled applications, but we also have used social media. We've done job fairs. You can anywhere from walking in asking for an application or looking us up online and filling online as well.
Best part of your job?
The people.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in the hospitality industry, you kind of got to like the people, right?
You have to be a people person. When you work with 200-300 people and you have tens of thousands of people coming in to meet you, it's a person business. It's a service business. Yeah, it's people first, gambling second.
I have to tell you, I was the main caregiver for my mother for 3.5 years, and her joy, one of her joys, was to hit the casinos. And I'm not into that. You know, I'm the guy that always wins at the casino because the moment I get more than $2 ahead, I'm out. So I'm not your guy, but Mom was really excellent at making deposits on a regular basis because she really did enjoy the social aspect of casinos. Wild Rose Casinos, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a great story, and it's a story that can perhaps build here in Jefferson because I'm sure that you're funding quite a few things, yes?
Well, we actually are. One of the great things about casinos in Iowa, they're all associated with qualified sponsors or nonprofit boards. In our case, it's the Grow Green County. To give you an idea where Wild Rose is in all this, the state requires 3% of our gaming revenue to go to these nonprofit boards. We have elected to give 5%. We give that extra 2% because we do believe in our communities. And then the folks at Grow Green County, it's a group of about 9 people. They do not get paid. It's a volunteer basis. And then they have the responsibility and probably a labor of love of trying to figure out how to best take care of all those funds. And we give them about $1.3, $1.4 million a year, and they've funded on so many various things. And right now, the big one is education.
Yeah, very good. His name, ladies and gentlemen, once again, is Travis Dvorak. He is the general manager of the Wild Rose Casino in Jefferson. Hey, thanks for visiting with us.
Well, thank you for letting me on your show.
All right, that wraps it up from Jefferson. We're grateful to have the opportunity. We were invited to the Rotary Club, as a matter of fact, in Jefferson. John Bruno from All Ability Cycles here in Jefferson invited us up, and we took him up on the offer, and certainly have enjoyed our time here. All right, we've got to break away and get back with more from the Business News Hour.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Do you come from a land down?"